In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So once upon a time, there were two sisters, Martha and Mary. Now, Martha was a good hostess. She liked to work in the kitchen and to serve her guests. But Mary had other business, and she could always be found at Jesus' feet. We've heard this story before, haven't we? We're waiting to hear Jesus say something like, "Martha, Martha." But that's not today's story. Mary and Martha, it would seem, have made their peace with how things are. They have each discovered their own spiritual gifts, their callings. And so today it is not Martha who criticizes Mary, but Judas. Now, as we read today, we are told some unsavory things about Judas. The evangelist, the writer of the gospel, is seeing Judas through the eyes of his later betrayal. And so the evangelist's prejudice leads him to accuse Judas of lying and petty theft. And Judas takes the fall also for criticizing Mary's choices. She's spending too much money, too much time on Jesus. Couldn't she do something more productive with her resources? But note carefully how tonight's gospel reading begins. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. Resurrection is what this story is all about. Now, our first reading tonight was from the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah always has something provocative to say. That's why he's called a prophet. And so, as Isaiah speaks of all the unexpected, just totally crazy things that God has done in the past, right? The dividing of the waters and the conquering of armies. Things that are honestly beyond belief for us today. The stuff of legends. And God says about all those things, forget about it. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. God is saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. It's time to let go of all your old assumptions, of your conventional expectations. It's time to let the old things die, because that is exactly where God works. God does new things through death. That's what we mean when we use the word resurrection. Something new is happening where we saw only death. This is the same message that we get in our second reading from Paul. Paul knows about privilege, about status, about respectability, about religious credentials. And Paul summarizes all those things as confidence in the flesh, and then he evaluates them. He passes judgment and values them as skubala. That's the Greek word. Skubala. The best English translation I can think of for that only has 4 letters, and so I won't use it from the pulpit. But instead, we'll just use the euphemism filth. These things, these sources of confidence in the flesh, they're not just neutral. Right? They're not just, oh, that's nice. They are actively harmful because they prevented Paul, and sometimes they prevent us, from receiving that which God has to offer us. Right? It's like a child with a piece of Monopoly money gripped firmly in her hand. And somebody's offering to give her $1,000. and trade for that monopoly money, but she won't let go. You can't even compare the value of the two things, but as long as your hands are full of monopoly money, how can you possibly receive anything else, however much greater its value? Paul knows that resurrection is the promise, and that you can only get to resurrection by first going through death. As a child, I learned a lovely song based on a verse from this passage about exactly that point. So next week is the Sunday of the Passion. Next week, we will read the account of Jesus' death at length. Because without Passion Sunday, there's no Easter Sunday, no Sunday of the Resurrection. In your baptism, you were drowned with Christ. You died to what was before and were united to his resurrected life, to new life. In our gospel reading today, Mary knows something about resurrection. Her brother Lazarus had been dead, buried even, and now he wasn't. When Jesus said to her, "I am resurrection and I am life," those were more than just words for Mary. It meant something real and personal to her. And so Mary seems to do this foolishly extravagant thing for Jesus, right? Anointing his feet with oil that cost a whole year's wages. But would you have done anything differently if it was someone that you loved, that Jesus had raised from the dead? As Christians, we believe that Jesus has done exactly that. And so passionate followers of Jesus are always going to be criticized for their outlandish faith. They're going to be accused of spending too much money, too much time drawing close to Jesus. They're going to be seen as wasting their resources and their efforts and maybe even their lives. But like Mary, they know. They know that all the things that everyone else values, things like time and money and resources and status and even respectability, it's all scubbula. Because those are the things that stand between us and resurrection. Mary has shown us the way to Easter, the way to resurrection. Mary has shown us how to lay it all down at Jesus' feet. Mary has faith in what Jesus has promised, in what's coming next. And Mary is not afraid to spend all she has in getting there. Amen.